sword and waved it triumphantly, severely wounding a man who had been creeping up behind him. Helena pushed Twoflower off her horse and fumbled for her own blade. Twoflower tried to stand up and caused the horse of another man to rear, throwing him off and bringing his head down onto the right level for Rincewind to kick it as hard as possible. Rincewind would be the first to call himself a rat, but even rats fight in a corner. Weems' hand dropped onto his shoulder, and a fist like a medium-sized rock slammed into his head. As he went down, he heard Herenna say, quite quietly, "Kill them both. I'll deal with this old fool."
"Right," said Weems,
and turned towards Twoflower with his sword drawn. Rincewind saw him hesitate. There was a moment of silence, and then even Herenna could hear the splashing as the luggage surged ashore, water pouring from it. Weems stared at it in horror. His sword fell from his hand. He turned and ran into the mists. A moment later, the luggage bounded over Rincewind and followed him. Herenna lunged at Cohen, who parried the thrust and grunted as his arm twinged. The blades clanged wetly, and then Herenna was forced to back away as a cunning upward sweep from Cohen nearly disarmed her. Rincewind staggered towards Twoflower and tugged at him ineffectually. "Time to be going," he muttered.
"This is great," said Twoflower. "Did you see the way he..."
"Yes, yes, come on, but I want to..."
I say, well done!"
Herenna's sword spun out of her hand and stood quivering in the dirt. With a snort of satisfaction, Cohen brought his own sword back, went momentarily cross-eyed, gave a little yelp of pain, and stood absolutely motionless. Herenna looked at him, puzzled. She made an experimental move in the direction of her own sword, and when nothing happened, she grasped it, tested its balance, and stared at Cohen. Only his agonized eyes moved to follow her as she circled him cautiously.
"His back's gone again," whispered Twoflower. "What can we do?"
"We can see if we could catch the horses."
"Well," said Herenna, "I don't know who you are or why you're here, and there's nothing personal about this, you understand." She raised her sword in both hands. There was a sudden movement in the mists, and the dull thud of a heavy piece of wood hitting a head. Herenna looked bewildered for a moment, and then fell forward. Bethan dropped the branch she had been holding and looked at Cohen. Then she grabbed him by the shoulders, stuck her knee in the small of his back, and gave a businesslike twist and let him go. An expression of bliss passed across his face. He gave an experimental bend.
"It's gone," he said. "The back. Gone."
Twoflower turned to Rincewind.
"My father used to recommend hanging from the top of a door," he said conversationally.
Weems crept very cautiously through the scrubby, mist-laden trees. The pale, damp air muffled all sounds, but he was certain that there had been nothing to hear for the past 10 minutes. He turned round very slowly, and then allowed himself the luxury of a long, heartfelt sigh. He stepped back into the cover of the bushes. Something nudged the back of his knees, very gently. Something angular. He looked down. There seemed to be more feet down there than there ought to be. And there was a short, sharp snap. The fire was a tiny dot of light in a dark landscape. The moon wasn't up yet, but the star was a lurking glow on the horizon.
"It's circular now," said Bethan. "It looks like a tiny sun. I'm sure it's getting hotter, too."
"Don't," said Rincewind, "as if I hadn't got enough to worry about."
"What I don't understand," said Cohen,
who was having his back massaged,
"is how they captured you without us hearing it. We wouldn't have known at all if your luggage hadn't kept jumping up and down."
"And whining," said Bethan. They all looked at her.
"Well, it looked as if it was whining," she said. "I think it's rather sweet, really."
4 pairs of eyes turned towards the luggage, which was squatting on the other side of the fire. It got up and very pointedly moved back into the shadows.
"Easy to feed," said Cohen.
"Hard to lose," agreed Rincewind.
"Loyal," suggested Twoflower.
"Roomy," said Cohen.
"But I wouldn't say sweet," said Rincewind.
"I suppose you wouldn't want to shell it," said Cohen.
Twoflower shook his head. "I don't think it would understand," he said.
"Nah, suppose not," said Cohen.
He sat up and bit his lip.
"I was looking for a present for Bethan, you see."